Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raia Drogasil conference call to discuss its results for the third quarter of 2013. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.raiadrogasil.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At the time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raia Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raia Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcilio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio de Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcilio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the Raia Drogasil earnings presentation. As usual, Eugênio will detail the numbers of our last quarter. Just after the presentation, I'd like to stress the main points that we are working in the moment, and that we believe it can generate a huge value for the company in the future. Eugênio, please.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, everyone, depending on where you are. Welcome to our third quarter conference call for 2013. We ended the quarter with 931 stores in operation. We opened 29 stores in the quarter and closed six stores as part of a program that we have been developing this year. We reached gross revenues of 1.7 billion reais in the quarter, 16% of growth versus the third quarter of last year. We reached also 9.9% of same-store sales growth in the quarter. Our gross margin totals 26.8%, and this represents a 0.6 percentage point increase versus the previous year. We recorded an adjusted EBITDA of 90.8 million, which represented an EBITDA margin of 5.4% of gross revenues. Our net income amounted to 42.6 million, a margin of 2.5%. Finally, we recorded in the quarter a positive free cash flow of 57.7 million reais. The total cash flow after dividend payments, after interest, and after the tax shield from those two lines amounted to 57.9 million reais positive in the quarter. On page four, I would like to talk about our growth in the year. As I mentioned before, we have reached 931 stores in operation. We opened in the quarter 29 stores, closed six stores, and we also have three suspended stores. We generally suspend stores when we are rebranding those stores. Most of the suspended stores are stores in transition from either Raia or Drogasil to Farmazil, or sometimes from Raia and Drogasil to each other. We have added already in the year 67 net stores and a total of 90 store openings, not discounting the closings. In the quarter, 35% of our total store base was still undergoing maturity, and 65 was full mature. On page five, as we can see, we're progressing pretty well in our store opening program. We opened to date 90 stores versus less than 60 stores in the same period of the previous year. and we are fully on track to meet our guidance of 130 new store openings. Yesterday, we also updated our guidance for 2014, and we will keep growing at the same pace of 130 stores a year. We have already accumulated a lot of contracts already signed for next year, and Marcelo will detail that after the presentation. On page six, as you can see, out of the 931 stores that we have in operation, 463 are Raia, and 468 are Drogasil, which includes Farmazil. Farmazil is a sub-brand of Drogasil. We have now 11 Farmazil stores. We are reaching something like 20 stores in the beginning of next year. So the pilot is already reaching quite a robust stage. We're very happy with Farmazil, but we're still not in a position to have a growth program for the brand. We still have to feel more comfortable, to give more time. But everything that we have observed so far has been very, very favorable. We're now operating in 12 states that account for 83% of the Brazilian pharmaceutical market. And according to IMS, we had a national market share that declined 0.3 percentage points this quarter over the same period in the previous quarter. However, it is important to notice that IMS has significantly increased the number of informants in its panel. And this has distorted not only market growth, but also market share figures. So according to IMS, the market will be growing 16%, but the reality is that there is a significant portion of this number that is a new informant added to the panel. So I would assume the market is growing something like 10-12%, which is a robust number, but not the 16 that IMS has reported. We also asked IMS to do a separate analysis, excluding new informants that have entered the panel, for us to have a comparable information on market share. We only have the data on a national basis, but the reality is that when you take out these distortions, our national market share should be increasing 0.2 percentage points as opposed to decreasing 0.3 percentage points. We also rely on Abrafarma data, and Abrafarma is a very accurate data produced by our association in which everybody reports Abrafarma, and our national market share within Abrafarma, including only the large and medium-sized chains in Brazil, it's also increasing by 0.2 percentage points. Unfortunately, we don't have the breakdown by market either for Abrafarma or for the adjusted IMS figures. So we still report the normal IMS figures. This shows a share loss in São Paulo, and the share loss is really, it really happened, probably not at this magnitude, but it really happened. There's nothing new in competition in São Paulo, but I think we had some pains related to the integration process, and I think there's a lot of internal bottlenecks that we are unlocking to resume growth, share growth in São Paulo. This share decrease has happened after many years of very consistent share decrease. So I think it's also normal. There's nothing unusual happening in that market. We also point to the strong market share growth that we have achieved in our more recent markets. So we are very happy with our store development program, and as a result, the share in those new markets, they show that as well. On page 7, we have grown in total 15.9% in the quarter, but it's important to mention that if we take out the stores that have been closed from last year's base, our total growth would have been 18.1%. So the store closed, they are penalizing revenues by something like 2%. And on the one hand, you have some revenue loss, but the whole reason we're doing the store closing program is to improve efficiency, and this is certainly something that will improve our numbers in terms of bottom line coming forward. We recorded same-store sales growth of 9.9%, and mature store sales growth with 4.9%. It's important to mention that our mature stores this year, they are growing below inflation, and this is not good, and this has resulted in loss of operating leverage at the store level. Our store expenses, they are mostly fixed, something like 90% of the store expenses are fixed. So this is both a blessing and a curse. When we're growing ahead of inflation, we have huge operating leverage. When we're growing behind inflation, we have operating deleveraging, and this is what we're seeing now. We have We are working very diligently in terms of improving our execution. There are a lot of actions being undertaken. Marcelo will detail that as well. And we're doing all that it takes to get our mature stores back to inflation or beyond. This is not something that will happen from one quarter to the next, but I think over the second half of next year, we have to see a much better picture for mature store growth. On page 8, talking about our sales mix, the OTC was the highlight of the quarter, and to be frank, of the year, we increased OTC with nearly 20%. The participation in the sales mix has gone up by 50 basis points, and I think this is quite significant. Hygiene personal care, I think after a tougher quarter in the second quarter of this year, we are getting to good levels. We're maintaining the share of HPC in the sales mix. We can probably do better. A lot of the actions that we're doing, especially in Brazil, have to do with front store sales. This is something that we're looking at, but it's not a bad figure. And I think the main issue of the quarter in terms of category was generics. If you compare to the same period in the previous year, we lost 0.3 percentage point of participation in the sales mix. And if you compare to the second quarter, we lost 0.6%. It's important to mention that the second quarter was probably a peak, just as the third quarter is probably a valley. What happens is that we faced in the quarter logistics problems with one of our main generics suppliers. This is already normalizing, and we should see generics in the next quarter or so coming back to something like 11.2, 11.3. But when you look beyond the quarter, when you look structurally, it's not being easy to expand generics because the pipeline for new generic launches has been kind of dry recent. So as we don't have many new generics being launched, it has been tougher on a structural basis to expand generics penetration. Another thing is that if you look at IMS, you see a huge generics growth taking place. And what happened is that most of the new informants are smaller chains in less affluent regions with higher share of generics. So IMS is providing a lot of distortion in their figures right now, and you have to look at IMS with a certain grain of salt and try to understand what's really happening. So the generics market as a whole, I think it's not expanding as fast as it was, but when you look, because of the new informants being more generic intensive, it looks as such. Page 9, we saw in the quarter a gross margin improvement of 0.6 percentage points over the previous quarter. I think the margin of the quarter is a good margin. It's a margin that has been in line with the previous periods. And I think the increase is mostly attributable to the weak comp base of the third quarter of 2012. One important thing is that we have not on a comparable basis, because in the third quarter we already had that effect, but we still have the ICMS tax issue affect our margins, and we are already solving the problem. Marcelo will also elaborate on that. Talking about cash cycle, the cash cycle is kind of good if you look the recent quarters, but it has increased over the same period of last year by 5 days. And we see a very different picture when analyzing inventories versus accounts payable. We have probably the lowest level of inventories recorded in the near in the last couple of years. We reached 73.5 days, significant reduction over the most recent quarters. And this is something very good and something that we have been very focused at. However, as most of the reduction is in generics, and as we have ceased for quite a long time to refill our generics sales because we had a lot of inventories at hand. What happened is that we no longer are generating invoices, and as a result, the days of accounts payable has dropped significantly. We believe that from now onwards, we will see accounts payable progressively normalizing. So this is a trend that should increase, and this should be good for us in terms of cash cycle. One important thing is that as we are in the middle of the integration, and integration affects a lot of logistics, we're completely rebalancing our logistics. I mean, until recently, we had separate distribution networks for both brands of Hydro Brasil. We are now starting to mix it up and to have a single distribution network shared by both brands. Two DCs are already shared DCs, Rio de Janeiro and of lately Ribeirão Preto. We still have our main DCs to be shared. They're still separate DCs. And what happened is that I believe we'll still see improvements in inventories, but I think it will get worse before it gets better because, well, in a huge rebalancing like this, what happens is that you have to increase inventories in the DC that is receiving stores, and the and you see a compensation in the decrease in the DC that is giving up stores, but this takes longer. So as an example, last month we integrated the Ribeirão Preto, Campside of São Paulo DC. What happened is that for that DC to service higher stores, we had to increase inventories. And those stores were previously served of other DCs. So with time, the inventory level of the DCs that previously served those stores will get down. But where, in a snapshot, what happens is that the new DC has increased inventories and the older DCs, they are still at the same level. So I think we'll see probably some level of inventory pains in the next quarter and maybe the next two quarters. And after that, I think we should go back to this level or even better. On page 12, I mean, expenses have again been the main challenge for the company. Our sales expenses increased 0.8 percentage points from the third quarter of this, when compared to the third quarter of 2012. Some of those drivers have been structural, like payroll expenses have gone up by 0.2 percentage points, and rental expenses this quarter also went up by 0.1 percentage point. In addition to that, we had a more transitory pressures, especially logistics. Logistics went up by 0.1 percentage point. It's the fact that we opened the fourth quarter of last year a new and big DC, and when you compare now with the third quarter, we have one DC more in the base now. And as we are not opening new DCs this year or next year, what will happen is that already in the beginning of next year, we should see some dilution in terms of logistics expenses. Another thing is that we have increased marketing expenses by 0.2 percentage points. We are basically accelerating our marketing program for recent markets where we have a lot of stores maturing. We believe this will is already accelerate maturation. I mean, these decisions, are decisions that they represent a clear trade-off. Increasing expenses by 0.2 percentage points means that we're pressuring this year's results, but our management horizon is not the quarter or the month or the year, although we don't disregard either of those. Our horizon of management is when you look 1, 2, 3 years ahead of us. So this is something that will help us ahead, but it's something that penalizes right now. And as such, our duty as manager of the company is to do what generates value on the longer term. Another important issue here to mention is that we entered the second quarter of this year with the benefit of the social charges reduction. However, the provisional measure that generated that failed to be voted on time, and we have been trying to reinstate the reduction in social charges ever since without success. So now is reality check time. And basically what we did now was we had to reinstate our allowances for social charges. So in the first quarter of the year, what we had done, we had reduced social charges by something like 6 million reais that referred to previous years. So we booked that as a non-recurring gain, and just as such, we are reverting that and we're booking that as a non-recurring loss. So the two offset each other. But we had a portion that we booked as current results in the first quarter, and now we are reverting that. That accounts for 0.2 percentage points of revenues. So we're booking the quarter 0.2% of increase in allowances that, of course, it's operational, so it's in the operational results. It, of course, relates to the year, but it doesn't belong in this quarter. It's something that should have affected the first quarter. So 0.2% also of the pressure came from reinstating the full allowances, as we are not counting with any social charges reduction right now. Talking about administrative expenses, I mean, administrative expenses that they have remained flat. In the third quarter of last year, we had to do a major reversion in variable compensation allowance. And even as we are not allowed, we are also doing small provisions in variable compensation this year, but the reversion that we did in last year ended up pressuring the quarter by 0.1 percentage points in comparison. That was diluted by other positive effects. As a result of all of that, we have posted an EBITDA margin compression of 0.2 percentage points. And the reason, I mean, is pretty straightforward. I mean, with mature stores growing below inflation and with our costs growing ahead of inflation, especially labor and rentals, we are facing operational deleveraging. And fixed expenses in our sector, they represent something like 90% of the total expenses of a store. So this is both a blessing or a curse, depending when you are we're talking about. Because when you see mature stores growing, we have huge operating leverage. When you see mature stores coming short of the inflation, we have operating deleveraging. What we're doing is we are working very intensively in all the variables of our execution, in our stores, in mix, in service levels. We are with layouts, and so there are a lot of homework being done. And the systems implementation is probably the most important of those, and we believe we can accelerate mature store sales next year. Of course, we won't see a huge improvement from one quarter to the other, but when you look on the second semester of next year, we have to be at a different level, and that will be paramount for us to absorb expenses. Finally, we also isolate the effect of the stores open in the year to have a better understanding of where are where is our economic performance disregarding the recent openings. So basically, we have 841 stores that were already operational in the very end of last year. So when we count only the EBITDA generated by these stores, and of course with the full corporate G&A, with the full distribution expenses, what happened is that we had 1.6 billion in gross revenues coming from those stores. Those stores generated 100 million reais in EBITDA, and this corresponded to an EBITDA margin of 6.2%. So if we disregard the stores open only in this year, and if we disregard the pre-operation expenses of stores that are yet to be open, these alone represent 0.8 percentage points in pressure from store development. I'm not talking about mature store margin. I mean, we're counting that a lot. We're counting within the 6.2 a lot of stores that are still undergoing maturity. Stores that we opened December last year, they are part of this EBITDA. So we believe that if our business was fully mature, we would be 1.5 percentage points ahead in terms of EBITDA margin compared to where we are right now. This is important to understand the impacts of growth in our profitability. On page 12, depreciation is 0.2 percentage points ahead of last year because we are opening more stores, we have more capex being booked. Net financial expenses, they increased slightly over last year because we have a slightly lower net cash position. However, with the tax shields from goodwill amortization, we have a lower level of tax accrued. All in all, when you look at net margin, page 13, we have maintained a very similar net margin to last year at 2.5 percentage points, 2.5% of gross revenues. On page 14, we're talking about non-recurring expenses. And non-recurring expenses have been chasing us ever since the merger started. We still have some to happen, but I mean, I think this was one of the toughest quarters in non-recurring expenses. And there are very clear reasons for that, and most of the effects do not repeat themselves. So we had 4.4 million reais in charges from store closures. The bulk of these is non-cash asset write-offs. So we have already closed 20 stores, and we have only 5 to go until the end of this year. And after that is normal life. Next year onwards will be closed, I don't know, five stores, 6 stores, 8 stores, and this will be moved as part of the recurring profitability of the company. This year, as we understand, as we are concentrating closures as part of our program, the numbers are higher. So in this quarter, we had 4.4 million reais in store closures expenses. Another thing is that we have subsidized Farmacia Popular. The deep level is going down quarter after quarter. We booked in the third quarter 2.2 million reais. If you already in this month, we will be at something like 1.5 million per quarter. So as the new stores are getting relicensed, these expenses are going down, but these expenses, they won't immediately zero. Another thing is that we had 4.5 million, million reais in severance payments. This is from our CEO change, so there are expenses related to that as well. And finally, we booked 5.9 million in reversion in payroll taxes. This is exactly the opposite of what we did in the first quarter. So in the first quarter, we booked a non-recurring gain of 5.9, and now we booked a non-recurring loss of 5.9, since the social charge reduction is no longer applicable to us. On page 15, we'd like to discuss our cash generation. We have, in the 9 months of this year, generated a negative free cash flow of 25.1 million reais. This means that our operating cash flow has nearly funded all the investments we have pursued in the year. So we already invested in the year 175 million reais only in CapEx. On top of this, we also have working capital investments and a lot of that related to the new stores being open. And even considering the higher cash cycle and the operating and the working capital investments for a new store, operating cash flow amounted to 150 million. And I'm talking a year in which we have a lot of non-recurring expenses and a year in which our profitability is low. So it's pretty obvious here that we're very close to self-sustainability in terms of free cash flow generation. We also track the total cash flow. Basically, we consider interest on our equity, financial expenses, and the tax effects arising from them out of the free cash flow, but they're still cash outlays from the company. So when you look total cash flow, we had in 9 months 36 million of negative total cash flow. If you compare to the same period of last year, we had more than 100 million. So in terms of cash management, I think we're getting very close to cash generation. And finally, our share price is down by 26.7% this year. This is not something we are happy about. We are working on the business. We are working on our execution to have a better future and to have an inflection point and get back to margin expansion, which has been our long-term trend. Even so, if you invested in Drogasil's IPO, you have had, not considering dividends and interest on capital, only considering the share price, 17% annual return, and for who invested in the right IPO, 18% average annual return. So this was all we had in terms of the presentation. I'll now pass to Marcelo for his final considerations before going to Q&A.
Okay. Thank you, Eugenio. I will talk about little points about what happened right now in the company and what's my goal or my target with all the team here, okay? Throughout the expansion, the new store opening program remains in line with our expectation. We opened 29 stores in the quarter, and we closed the year with 130 stores, as our web had discovered. New store has performed very well, including the recent markets. Yesterday night, we published our official new store opening guidance of 130 new stores in 2014. We already have 42 contracts signed. Most of the openings will happen in metro markets, but we will also look for at the new markets. We monitor our competitors, and we continue to lead the industry in terms of new store openings. And with the structural property tools and know-how that we have in the company, I really believe the quality of the growth is also unique. This will give us a huge competitive advantage in the future. The cycle of closing stores is passing.
as we have already closed 20 stores, as Eugenio told you. We closed 5 more until the end of this year, but we anticipate returning the normal levels next year, closing between 5 to 8 stores per year. These numbers show us how assertive our expansion is. Talk about the system integration. It's working better than we expected. We converted up to date 62 stores and the first DC, and we are planning to finish this stage in March 2014. What we are doing is disconnecting Drogasil stores from their legacy retail system and reconnecting them to the upgraded Rio retail system. In March, we will turn off the Drogasil legacy system, and then our stores and DCs will be unified in the Rio retail system, and also, that's very important, the SAP financial and accounting system. This will allow us to unify the logistic network and all corporate process and systems, with synergy gains to be in the future. We're being very careful in this process, trying to preserve the best of the two main brands, and we believe relevant synergies will be captured after this process is complete. The main point that we are observing is the conversion stores are improving customer service. As the new system is easier to operate and help our sales assistant to serve our customers with the best choice given for the customer and for the company. Flexibility in price segmentation across region and store profiles. Inventory optimization, mainly because the stores receive products more frequently. And reduction of transportation costs. At the end of this process, we will be the only company, if you compare with your three main competitors who had done M&A in your market, to work with a single IT platform. And you have the best system in the whole industry. This will give us the perfect condition to consolidate the market with a significant improvement in your quality of operation and your profitability. In profitability, we are working on many projects in the next quarters. For example, return to the previous ISTMS tech regime. This will bring us a gross margin improvement of 0.4% over the coming months. We are doing the change already in December, and we will see the improvement in inventory rotates. We are working also in productivity improving at stores. This is the structure to sustain long-term and margin expansion. The system integration is key to improve education execution and accelerate growth. After integration, we analyze the store process to bring execution to the next level, not only in customer service, but also in the back office. Cost management. Several initiatives are being conducted to minimize the effects of increasing your cost of labor and rentals, like managing indirect costs. We just created one specific area in the company to manage and negotiate with the vendors all the main contracts in the administrative and support areas. Another important thing that Eugenio already told you is the government is really sizing stores for the Farmacia Popular. Today we have 551 stores active in the program. This week, the government approved the inclusion of over 45 stores. This reduces our subsidy and the program and bring more competitiveness in the high stores. We are working closely with the government to try approving other stores until the next year. Thank you all, and right now, we are available for questions.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Mr. Guilherme Assis from Brasil Plural would like to make a question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I have one question regarding the expansion plan. So you said that you're keeping the same pace of store openings for next year as this year, 130 stores. Can you give us a little color on potential new markets or how is the breakdown of the expansion, if you think that, or even how many markets do you expect to tap in the next year, and how much of the 130 stores should be in the existing markets? That's my question. Thank you.
Guilherme, thanks for the question. We are looking actively at new markets. We don't want to be too specific here because we are not the only company growing in the market. And in terms of number of stores, I don't know, maybe 20 stores in new markets, 15, something like that. It depends on the timing of entry, depends on a lot of things. But we keep opening a significant number of stores in mature markets in which we have a very strong brand, in which we have logistics infrastructure, in which we have people in the field, in which we know and understand the competitive dynamics. So this has to be a mixture. If we were only to focus in mature markets, I mean, this is the best profitability you can have, but also you exhaust new growth, you exhaust growth for the company much sooner. If you overweight on new markets, I mean, I think nobody will have the patience with the results of the company because the pressure would be huge and the execution pressure would be very significant as well. So we're always trying to balance it. Sometimes it's more an art than a science. This has been a year in which we have entered no new markets. But in general, the 1 or 2 years before, we entered a lot of stores in new markets. So I think we're getting in a stage in which we can balance very well. I don't know if I have to give you a number, but that's not something set in stone. Maybe there are 20 stores in the new markets, or let's say 25 if you consider recent markets as well.
So, Jenny, so if you're saying like 20 stores in new markets, could I say that this could mean 1 or 2 markets for next year? Is that what you have in mind, or you think you could have less stores in more markets, more new markets?
It's possible. I mean, 1 market for sure we'll have. 2, it's possible. I don't know if it's more. I mean, it depends on how well the markets are doing. We don't want to be over aggressive here. We want to be measured. We don't take anything for granted. But for sure, I think 1 or 2 markets is a good assumption.
Okay, thank you. And if I may, one last question about competition. There's been a new entrant since we last spoke in the last conference call, right, from last quarter. We had the Grupo Ultra actually buying Extra Pharma in the north of Brazil. I know they don't have any overlap with you at this point, but how do you see the competitive environment going forward, and how do you see this new player as a competitor to you, given that they could have some synergies with the gas station footprint that they have? Do you think that they would eventually come to São Paulo? How would you view them as a competitor in the south, not specifically in São Paulo, but in the southeast?
You know, I mean, I only have good things to talk about Grupo Ultra. It's a great company. We have a lot of admiration for them. And they basically bought a good and solid company. So the things that we pay a lot of attention to is net addition of assets. I mean, I'm not as concerned about M&A as we are with new store openings. I mean, for me, M&A is basically the same asset operated by a different player. It's not something that I think affects too much competition. What we don't want to see is an over-opening of stores in the markets where we are. Another thing to say is that, different from other companies, I mean, one of our main strengths is that we were able to succeed in very competitive markets with the best players in the industry. So we operate in São Paulo. We are leaders after Drogaria São Paulo, which is a very good and very solid operator. So we have been able to grow our brand and to develop very good operations in new markets, competing with local players. So if we are here today and if we're successful, it's not for lack of competition, but because of our ability to succeed in competition. I believe that any local player, including us, that has strong brands, strong execution, and strong property quality is very well defended. I believe that both when we are going in other markets and we sometimes find competitors here and there like that, and if the competitor have the three pillars that I just mentioned, I think they are very resilient and they are very successful in absorbing new entrants. Just as when we enter new markets where the players do not have all those three characteristics, our lives is generally much easier. But on the other way, I mean, both ourselves and our main competitor in São Paulo, Drogaria São Paulo, we are very good on the three dimensions. So if you look in the past, no entrant in São Paulo had an easy life. If you think about the company in São Paulo, us and Drogaria São Paulo, we are hugely profitable in São Paulo. But if you think about the companies that entered in São Paulo, neither of those were successful. Neither of those were successful because they were competing with very strong brands, executions, and asset quality. So this is the most important thing. In the end, the game is about asset quality, and I believe the asset that we have makes us very strong versus any kind of competition that we may have in our market or when we go to other markets.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Eugenio.
Thanks.
Mr. Richard Cascard from Banco Espírito Santo would like to make a question.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to ask a quick question about costs for next year. Clearly, you've spoken about some costs, increasing costs in payroll, rental. I'm just wondering whether you think you'll be able to keep SG&A as a percentage of sales flat next year, or whether it's likely to increase again, and whether you may be able to offset that with better gross margin or better G&A.
Richard, thanks for the question. We don't deny that controlling expenses in a high inflation environment is something very, very challenging. I think when you look at sales expenses, it's very, very tough to maintain sales expenses. So my realistic expectation is that we have pressure in sales expenses. Our job is to offset those pressures in corporate G&A and in gross margin increases, and as a result, being able to expand our margins. But in the end, it all depends on what kind of growth we have in mature stores. So if you're growing mature stores about inflation or slightly better, I think that's the kind of assumption that I would have. But if all the initiatives that we are unleashing, they translate in strong growth for next year, then you can have a surprise, and yes, maybe yes, you can control or even dilute sales expenses. An example that I give you, I mean, given a certain level of revenue that you expect in a certain year, if you have 1%, if you have 1% higher revenues, you have 25 basis points of margin improvement versus what you budgeted. If you have 1% less revenues, you have 25% less EBITDA margins than what you budgeted. So the answer depends a lot on the kind of growth that you people think about sales expenses as variable expenses, and they are not. They are fixed expenses. In the existing store base, they are fixed expenses. They get variable when you add new stores. So then, yes, you add expenses. But 90% of those expenses, they are fixed. So if we're able to increase our revenues, we get operating leverage. If we decrease revenues versus inflation, we lose operating leverage. So our whole challenge is to get as well as possible in the revenue side. And when Raia and Drogasil merged, the whole spirit of the merger was not that we're merging because we can cut costs outside of the system. That's great, and we're looking at costs attentively as well, and that's very welcome. But the whole reason on why the company was formed is to be able to operate by getting the best of both worlds, the best assets, the best people, and the best systems and the best skills. And I think we're very close to the point in which we'll see that working. For example, we are exactly in the middle of our systems change. A significant number of Drogasil stores has been already disconnected from the Drogasil legacy system and reconnected in the upgraded Raia legacy system. In March, we'll be over completely with that. So we have 100% of Drogasil stores in the Raia legacy system. We'll be able to turn off the Drogasil legacy system, the Drogasil finance and accounting system, and have all the company operating in the same system. And the systems platform that we have at Raya is a very, very robust and unique systems platform. It's very CRM-driven, it's very execution-driven, and as we are implementing that system in Drogasil stores, I think we will see the impact of that change. We are now living in a moment in which Raya is doing very, very well, and Raya is kind of living the best of both worlds. Raya has this very strong system for store operations. We upgraded that system by better controls in the back office and things like cost management and so on. And Raya had a gap in store execution, and we, over the last 2 years, we fixed that gap in store execution, and we also had a lot of learnings from Drogasil employed at Raya. So Raya now has kind of the best that we have to offer. Has a very good retail execution, has the full systems platform implemented, has learnings from Drogasil, and we don't publish the figures by brand, but Raya is growing significantly ahead of inflation in mature stores. On the other hand, we have a lot of pains with Drogasil in this integration process that have limited Drogasil growth, and Drogasil is growing significantly below inflation at mature stores. We have in Drogasil a very strong execution discipline, and we believe that when we implement the same IT platform, the same retail platform for the Drogasil stores, I think we'll see a significant improvement in Drogasil next year. And it's not the systems alone. Together with that, we're improving, especially at Drogasil, we're improving product mix, we're improving merchandising, category management, improving pricing, we're increasing service levels, we are renovating stores, improving assortment. So we have a huge to-do list of things that we're doing to improve our retail execution. I think ever since we had the change in our management, I think the company is investing way more of its time thinking about stores, customers, execution, than thinking about back office and control and things that are important, but they do not add value to the consumer. Everything that we do here is very focused at the store, at the consumer, at the execution, and I believe that will pay off. I believe that we'll see a very strong, good second semester next year. These improvements, you don't feel them from night to day. I don't expect a significantly different fourth quarter, already in the end of the fourth quarter, or in the middle of the fourth quarter, but certainly we do not expect nothing materially different in the fourth quarter and first quarter of next year. Maybe, who knows, the second quarter. But certainly, we have to see a very robust growth for mature stores in the second semester of next year. And then this will get us back to margin expansion. That has been our secular trend.
Okay, thanks. That's very helpful. And then just one more quick question on the inflation in rental expenses. Is this a trend that's affecting the market as a whole? Or do you think perhaps that you're seeing slightly higher inflation than your competitors because you do have such strong assets, such strong locations, you know, these stores on the corners? Are they becoming increasingly more expensive versus stores of the competition?
That's a very good question, Richard. I mean, if you think, I don't think the pressure that we have is any different from the pressure that our competitors have. Having said that, if you have a competitor who owns their stores, the fact is that they can have the owner subsidizing the retailer.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, I mean, if a competitor owns a significant portion of stores, it's not seeing the depreciation, sorry, it's not seeing the rental expenses increase. I mean, nobody owns 100%, so it's getting less of an increase. But then you have the whole invested capital issue, and I mean, that capital is worth more and is being remunerated the same. So you still have an economic problem to solve. I mean, there are slightly different colors market to market. I tell you that Rio de Janeiro is insane. So if you have high exposure to Rio, you have a harder time than if you have a higher exposure to, let's say, smaller cities in the countryside. So, I mean, colors could be slightly different, but I think fundamentally the phenomenon affects everybody in a very similar way.
Great. Thanks, Eugenio. Very helpful.
Thank you.
This will be the final announcement. In order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Mr. Javier Martinez from Morgan Stanley, you'd like to make a question.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Eugenio. I wanted to ask you, in these results, I see that you are already approaching the end of the integration process, or the tunnel in the integration process, no? 2 years after the deal was announced. I was wondering if during these 2 years learning process, that I guess that you also learn a lot of things, the thesis is still the same. So scale adds value. But my question is if this value added via scale gain still applies once, now that you know not only about the synergies but also the integration pains. And second, if the thesis is the same when you were moving from 2-3 billion to 6 billion, or now that you are in 6 billion, so the incremental value of a round of consolidation of large chains still makes sense, or now that you are in 6 billion is marginal, the incremental value creation, no? And if this is the case, if what is the role you want to play? Do you want to stick to be the leaders in this process, or you are going to be waiting for other people to move, or how do you see this evolving in the future?
Great. Now, very, very good question. I mean, we absolutely see the benefits of scale and even the benefit of a large merger like this. For example, what we did wrong at the time of the merger, we saw the huge potential for gross margin improvement, but we didn't see the kind of expense pressures we were facing. But still, I tell you that the strength that we have now when we negotiate with suppliers, I mean, it's completely different. And even if you had got to the same level of scale organically, I think the transformational issue of a merger is an added value and has had its role in improving our competitiveness. No doubt about that. Having said that, when you look at the market and when you look ahead of us, and when you and a question about M&A, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, there are a couple issues to take into consideration. I mean, yes, if you have a large M&A, that can be transformational. However, when you look at the assets that have remained in the market, I mean, you have the leaders who are large assets. Most of them, I don't know if they want to sell or not. I think they are expensive assets. And when you look at smaller chains, I mean, most of the good smaller chains have been already digested by players like us, by players like Brasil Pharma, and now even by Ultrapar. So when you look in the middle, for smaller chains and middle-sized chains, I think the opportunity is very limited right now. And when you look to large deals, it gets very complex in terms of execution, in terms of governance, in terms of price, and in terms of distraction from our organic growth. One thing that you understand very well, I mean, we grow organically by paying 2 times EBITDA. Is it worth to pay 12 times EBITDA to do a large deal? I don't know. Maybe someday, yes, now that we have this huge opportunity for organic growth, I probably think it's not worth. I probably think a transaction will provide a huge distraction from the organic growth. And then, in our case, the beauty of this merger is that we didn't sacrifice organic growth. On the opposite, we are able now to grow more than the sum of the parts. Raia was growing 60 stores a year, Drogasil was growing 40, and we're now growing 130. So we have all the benefits from a merger that I think we will start seeing next year, plus the fact that we were able to keep or accelerate organic growth. This is not always true. Depending on the level of intervention that you have to do, if you have a company that is very well managed, and then maybe it's easier. You could not sacrifice organic growth. But if you have to get an operation that is not integrated, that has a lot of problems, a lot of complexity, even if the underlying asset is good, that can become a toxic asset because of the distraction that would bring to our organic growth program.
Hi, Marcelo here. Scale is very important in this business. I agree with you, maybe it would be good for us, but the most important for this business is productivity and the stores. Because it's very complex to serve the customer in this business. And if you're working with two or three systems, it's very, very difficult to manage in this. We're red, almost go with just one system. And this is very good for our business. And I really believe the profitability will be, in the future, will be the productivity or the sales team. This will be our goal in the future. Okay?
Pretty clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. There appears to be no further questions. Now I'll turn the conference back to the company for their final remarks.
Well, thank you very much for attending our third quarter conference call. We keep focusing this company in the middle to long range. We're doing a lot of actions that can be transformative in terms of our execution. And in the end, I mean, our profitability and our growth will be just as good as our execution is. The whole energy of this company is focused at the store, at serving the consumer, to improve shopping experience, and to execute more efficiently all of that. So this is a journey. We keep committed to the journey, and we believe the company that we'll see 5 years down the road will be a significantly different company in terms of scale, in terms of efficiency, in terms of quality of the services provided then with the company that we have now. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your participation. Have a nice day.